Hi, I'm Jesse Cruikshank.
Jesse Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
From the Kiss 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All about that podcast, huh?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Mocha.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
You know it.
Let's do the news.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. News break.
O.J. Simpson died yesterday. Caitlyn Jenner tweeting good riddance, I believe is what she had said.
Damn. And all that she said.
That whole thing is so crazy because he was in hospice. He had cancer. And
did we know he had cancer?
Well, he was like he did a video not that long ago for Super Bowl weekend where he denied that he was in hospice and just talked about how great Super Bowl weekend was. And I think at one point he said that he caught cancer, but that, I don't know what that means. But so he died in hospice at 79. I believe it was prostate cancer that he was dealing with. Dammit Maury getting a hold of one of the members of OJ's Dream Team defense team, Alan Dershowitz.
Hello.
Alan Dershowitz, it's Dammit Maury from the Roz and Mocha Show on Kiss FM in Canada. The news just broke that OJ Simpson has passed away. You were part of his quote-unquote Dream Team and wanted to find out your thoughts on his passing.
I knew he had been ill, and I'm sorry for his passing. He played an important role in the American legal system. He was very divisive. His verdict was very divisive. And I'm sorry for his passing.
Have you been in touch with him in the last several years at all? Nothing?
No, I haven't, no.
Are you planning on reaching out to the to his family at all to send your condolence?
We're wrapped up. That's all I have to say.
Damn, son.
So no?
Damn. You're about to get sued.
It's interesting, like all the things that were just launched from that trial. I mean, aside from the Kardashians, that was really the first time a lot of people had ever heard of DNA evidence, first of all. Court TV was launched from that, and in turn, TMZ was launched from that, right?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, because Harvey Levin was Court TV, and then that exploded, then that became TMZ. Like the amount of things that like came out of that trial. But it's interesting if that happened today with the DNA evidence that they presented, because nobody knew what DNA was, right? And then Barry Scheck went up there. Who was on OJ's team, and his job was to destroy the DNA evidence because the nerds that they brought on the stand to explain DNA to the jury did such a terrible job because nobody knew what DNA was. And it was being interpreted, DNA was being interpreted by the jury as blood type, which are two very different things.
Sure.
And OJ's blood, his DNA was at the site, and Nicole's DNA was in the Bronco. And at the time, they were trying to explain that with the blood in the Bronco, when it comes to DNA, not blood type, but DNA, that it was a 1 in 26 billion chance that it wasn't Nicole's blood.
Billion with a B.
Right, billion with a B. And they were like, yeah, but blood type, though, blood type. Mm-hmm. And so they basically, like, scrubbed the entire DNA evidence because they didn't get it. They did such a terrible job at explaining it. But if you went into a court case today with that kind of DNA evidence, it's a slam dunk.
Oh,
like, the whole thing's over.
The trial wouldn't have lasted as long as it did.
No. But so much stuff came out of that trial, though, man. Like, it was really,
like, don't
really
put on gloves
crazy
in a courtroom?
Yeah, I mean, that whole stupid thing, too. My God.
Yeah, bro, it fit.
Everybody got a glow up during the trial too. When they realized they were on TV. Mm-hmm. Like everybody got makeovers. So crazy.
Here, every day, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Apparently, French Montana posted something where he was offered $1 million to do a show in the UAE. Mm-hmm. And it was part of a lineup where the other person who was going to be on the bill that they were pitching was going to be paid $9 million. Ooh. And there was a lot of speculation as to who the $9 billion offer was going to. And he set the record straight in an interview.
I remember you had posted, it was an offer for a show where you get $1 million.
Yeah.
And another artist gets $9 million.
Yeah.
Cross the name of the other artist.
Yeah.
My guess is Kanye.
Mm-mm. Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Okay. Exclusive. No. Oh, glad to you. That makes total sense.
Yeah. I mean,
so you
million.
Were supposed to perform with Taylor Swift?
And they had a show offer for me and Taylor. Her $9 million, me $1 million.
This was where? In Dubai somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere in
that area?
Emirates, yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
I would have said like Beyonce or Jay-Z.
I would have admitted that she was nine and you were one.
Yeah. That's a big gap.
I think if it's anybody else though, like I think that when we're talking Taylor Swift, I don't think any artist at French Montana's level is going to go, yo, it's the same stage, same crowd. Why am I not being paid equal?
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Taylor's music is back on TikTok now.
That's right.
Right? Because I think that she managed to make some sort of side deal because she owns her publishing, mm-hmm. because the Universal couldn't come to an agreement with TikTok. And that's why all those artists were gone. But I think Taylor, she's just backdoored it to promote her new record.
Listen, that team she's got with her.
Bro, they know how
incredible.
To do it, huh? They know how to do it.
Yeah, big time.
God, they know how to make money.
Get the bag.
It's incredible.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Facebook and Instagram announced new tools today designed to protect its users from sextortion and other forms of online intimate image abuse. So now what happens when you try and send a nude? Because what winds up happening is people send people nudes that aren't them, right? They pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah.
And then they say, yo, here's a nude of me. Why don't you send me a nude back? And then when that person sends the nude back, they then try and extort them for money, saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to send these pictures to your father and whoever else, right? Everybody in your family, your contact list. So what winds up happening now is that when an explicit image is sent, Meta and Facebook and Instagram are going to be blurring the image when somebody tries to send a nude picture through a DM, encouraging people to think twice before sending intimate images, and then blurring nude images for people receiving them, triggering warnings about the dangers of sharing nude pictures. And these will be automatic on people's accounts who are under 18. But if you are over 18 and you want those restrictions, you're going to have to activate them yourself.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
OJ Simpson died. And it was crazy because once OJ started trending and everybody just pulling up all this stuff,
I watched
so many of those interviews. Remember when he wrote that book called If I Did It? And in the book was like a fictionalized version of if he did in fact kill his wife and Ron Goldman, and he created some alter ego character. I think his name was Dan or something like that.
So
like
generic.
Also on the cover, if was a tiny font.
Yeah, I know. Well, what wound up happening though is that the Goldmans sued and won, and mm-hmm. so they actually own the rights to the book.
Oh, if I did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Fam. This is my confession.
And when you own the rights to the book, you can make that if as small as you want, for future prints, uh-huh. right?
Almost non-existent. I did it.
But just as fast as OJ was trending, the great Norm MacDonald was trending because Norm MacDonald on Saturday Night Live, Norm's head writer for when Norm used to do Weekend Update was a guy named Jim Downey, and they were relentless during the OJ trial with the OJ jokes. And somebody very, very high up at NBC at the time was like best friends with OJ Simpson. And they told them no more OJ jokes, and they didn't stop. And then they
my kind of style.
And then they fired Jim Downey.
Uh-huh.
And then Norm MacDonald was like, "Well, if you fired Jim, you got to fire me." And so they fired Norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got fired from SNL because of too many OJ jokes.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why Norm was trending all day yesterday. But here's a little bit of Norm MacDonald from back in the day on Weekend Update.
Well, let's get to OJ. OJ Simpson's lawyers say they don't want the families of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman in the courtroom during the trial. They're afraid the presence of the family members will just remind OJ of how much more killing he still has to do.
That's a great joke. Great
it
joke.
Was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, "Hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know."
Another great joke.
This week at the O.J. Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence, and O.J. didn't help his case any by blurting out, "There it is, I've been looking all over for that thing."
That's three in a row, home runs. I love it. What else you got, Norm? What else? Hold on, let me hear more.
In his book, O.J. Simpson says that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is some bad luck when the one guy who would have died for you kills you. That's probably...
So that clip, that like 90 seconds that we played, the one that that I watched yesterday that people were posting is 11 and a half minutes.
Oh, man.
Of Norm roasting O.J. Simpson. Yeah, it's so...
I applaud that. And, so and then they got fired for it.
I know, yeah. And our R.I.P. Norm MacDonald. He was
absolutely
one of the best.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Down in Las Vegas at CinemaCon, they dropped the trailer for theater owners for Gladiator 2.
What?
Yeah. Do you remember Gladiator?
Yeah.
Like 25 years ago?
Are you not entertained?
Yes.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
My dad's favorite movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of dudes' favorite movies.
Yeah, it's
one of those.
It's a great movie. Are you kidding?
So Gladiator 2, the sequel, and it's Ridley Scott's movie. He's directing it and everything else. He says that it's probably, to him, he goes, it is possibly more extraordinary than the first. So this one stars Paul Mescal.
Uh-huh.
And Pedro Pascal and wow. Denzel Washington.
Wow.
The footage that they showed apparently was just incredible.
Really?
Yeah, because Mescal plays a character named Lucius, and Lucius is the nephew. If you remember back to Gladiator 1, remember Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
How crazy he was?
Uh-huh.
So Lucius is the nephew of Joaquin Phoenix's emperor from back in the day, who you see very, very briefly in the first movie. And then Pedro Pascal plays like a military general, so he's like that kind of guy. And Denzel Washington is the sort of mysterious character who's orchestrating everything behind the scenes, trying to topple Rome. Right. And
amazing.
So, yeah,
I'm into it.
Yeah. Like,
is this not why you are here?
Bro, so,
so
looks,
good.
I cannot wait.
Amazing. Yes.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Ryan Gosling was hosting SNL. I didn't even know he was hosting SNL this weekend.
So good.
Yeah.
The whole bit in the opening monologue was that he's there to promote the Fall Guy, but he still won't shut up about Ken. Right.
Oh, so
I'm here because of my new movie, The Fall Guy, with Emily Blunt. So don't worry, I'm not going to make any jokes about Ken, because it's not funny. Ken and I, we had to break up. We went too deep, and it's over. So I'm not going to talk about it. I actually am going to talk about it a little bit.
Come on, man.
I have to, because... Thank you. You know, when you play a character that hard, that long, just letting go just feels like a breakup. And for processing a breakup, there's really only one thing that can help. The music of the great Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God. What? Taylor Swift wasn't there, though, right?
No.
I shredded Venice Beach, it's true. My clothes were tight, but something about that spandex felt so right. I left my rollerblades in that big pink house, but I still got that fur coat and I'll wear it right now.
Okay, oh my God, come on.
So before I get to when Emily Blunt actually came out, so Taylor did respond. She said, all too well, Ryan and Emily's version. Watch me accidentally catch myself singing this version on tour. This monologue is everything. So here's when Emily Blunt came out.
Hi, Emily Blunt.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm promoting our movie.
No, you're not. No, you're not. We had a whole Fall Guy monologue plan with a bunch of stunts. It was going to be epic. I was going to hit you with things, and instead you're singing about Ken. Again.
But it's not totally unrelated. I mean, I listened to this song in The Fall Guy. Well, thinking about a breakup, I mean, in a way, I'm doing exactly what we talked about.
Do you really believe that, though, Ryan?
No.
No. Look at you, you're Kenning right now, and I hate there's even a verb, all right? I resent that. Take the fur coat off. You're embarrassing yourself. Come on.
You're embarrassing yourself. No.
Guys, I don't mean to be harsh, but Ryan, you have to move on. It's time.
I know.
Okay?
I know you're right.
Okay.
I just can't. 'Cause here we are again.
Oh my God.
Technicolor Beach. I didn't win the Oscar. It was.
Good for him. Good for him.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Masters yesterday. Scottie Scheffler won the second time in, I think, 3 years with a minus 10. Very religious individual. I didn't know this when I was watching Scottie Scheffler out there, that he was doing God's work. So here's a little bit of Scottie at the end.
What is it about winning and competing then that you find satisfying?
You know, that's a really good question. I was sitting around with my buddies this morning. I was a bit overwhelmed because I told them, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier. But
same, bro.
I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's, that's a pretty special feeling. To know that I'm secure for forever, and it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament. You know, my identity is secure for forever.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth!
That's what he should have yelled when he secured the W. When he put that jacket on?
Yeah.
Right?
Jesus Christ of Nazareth!
Thank you!
No, I can't.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Apparently, O.J. Simpson did not confess anything to anyone on his deathbed because the story was that... what are you laughing so hard at?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at?
No, just something that was sent to me over the weekend about O.J. confessing, and I clicked the link. And
Yeah, I think I sent that to everybody.
So there was a
link that I sent to everybody that I know, and it was a news article that read O.J. Simpson confesses on his deathbed, and then when you click that link, it took you. This was a joke that happened during COVID, if you remember, where people would send around a link to all their friends saying, "Here's the latest COVID outbreaks for the neighborhood you live in." And then it took you to a picture of a gentleman sitting on the side of a bed.
These nuts.
Right. And it's back again. And that guy who's no longer with us, he's deceased.
No.
R.I.P.
King.
So that picture's back, and it was now an O.J. story, right? So I sent it to everybody I know.
Yeah.
These nuts.
And I also sent it to Catherine.
Oh, no.
But I sent it to Catherine in the Catherine Roxy group chat.
No, with your daughter? Okay. Your 14-year-old daughter?
Yeah. Oh, and then,
weirdo?
And then immediately, Roxy, we were all in the same room together.
Yeah.
And then immediately, Catherine was like, delete the link that Dad sent you. Don't open it.
Yeah.
Don't open it.
Yeah.
Did
she open it?
No, she didn't. Well, she says she didn't. I don't think she did. I don't think she did. I sent it to a buddy of mine, Frank.
Uh-huh.
He sent it to his wife, who's on vacation with her mother.
Oh.
And they were both very interested in the O.J. story,
yeah.
So they apparently opened it together.
No. These nuts.
Yeah. You know what you need?
Jesus Christ of Nazareth!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Coachella over the weekend.
Yes.
A lot of big surprises. Will Smith came out, corny as hell. Did Men in Black.
Oh, didn't he?
Yo, let's go. He come to MIB. He come to MIB. Coachella.
Yo, whatever.
Let's go.
Don't you clown on this song, but this is a hit back in the day, bro.
God dressed in black, remember that. Just in case we ever face to face and make contact. Title held by me, MIB. Be what you think you saw, you did not.
Oh, this is a happy rap, guys.
So he came out with J Balvin, and I'm not hating, but it's corny as hell, right? Like, he came out in the suit.
Well, what's he going to...
Right?
Is he going to come out in jeans and Jordans?
Yes.
No.
It's just a song.
Not when you're performing the song.
And then he took the thing out of his pocket?
Yeah, so we don't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
But we do.
It's amazing.
And they had big, like, people in green alien costumes dancing behind him and stuff. Like, it's corny.
Listen,
it's corny.
Play to the gimmick.
It's corny. I get that.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
Do your thing, Will.
Yeah, sure. Still corny, though. Right? It's corny.
Part of the gimmick, man.
I like it.
It's corny.
Corny doesn't always have to be bad.
I'm not saying. I'm not saying.
Two people got my back on this.
No. I'm not saying corny is bad. I'm just saying it's corny. Okay. Maybe it's because Will Smith, tries to come off as like tough. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're the Men in Black guy, right?
No, he's
real bad man.
You know, your parents just don't understand.
Yeah, right? I love that song.
So do I. It's a classic joint. But yeah.
It's happy rap, man.
But you can't, as like, you don't think that far in the future. Like, you can't, like, Will Smith can't at this age go out there and start doing Parents Just Don't Understand.
Oh, no,
right?
No, no, no.
This
Not
is
now.
Probably Men in Black from a movie is probably like the most legitimate,
like, classic that he could do.
Yeah.
Or Men in Black or Miami.
Yeah, why? He could have done Miami. He could have done Miami. Yeah.
Or the Fresh Prince theme song.
Fresh Prince theme
song. That would have killed. Yeah. That would have killed, right?
But maybe that would have been too obvious. Men in Black, though?
I think so. Yeah. But they had like a giant alien head on stage and everything. Like, it was a massive setup for him. It was huge. A lot of surprise guests. Billie Eilish debuted a new song, which we'll play for you a little bit later. Paris Hilton was there. Shakira was there. On Saturday night, the big No Doubt reunion blew people away.
No.
She sounded great in every other song, though.
Yeah, no, not this song. Yeah. No.
I don't think she sounds bad here at all.
Yeah.
Don't sing. Yeah, no. Don't sing.
Everybody loved it.
They were all drunk.
No, like everybody was like, this should have been the headliner for Saturday night. For real, for real.
Song. Oof. Yikes.
Yeah, we should have got a fast one. But she's 50.
At that point, I'd be yelling out for Will Smith to come back out. Do Men in Black again.
54 years old, Gwen Stefani, climbing the rafters and all that stuff.
She
did a great job. Yeah, she did a really good job.
She made all the guys in the audience sing, "I'm just a girl."
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
It was so good. Yeah,
it was great. Let's do the Billie Eilish thing then. So Billie Eilish was doing a DJ set. I'm not 100% sure.
What?
I don't know. But she played like a clip of maybe one of her new tracks off her new record, I guess.
That's a new Billie, guys.
It was like Bad Guy Part 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like Billie Eilish, right?
Yeah, I'm into it.
Sounds just like Billie Eilish. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Oh, yeah. Surprise, surprise. The Golden Bachelor and his lady, Teresa Nist, that they went through their whole romance and everything else, and everybody fell in love with the two of them, and they broke up. Yeah.
Shem, you're the only person I know that watch every episode of that season.
I've seen every season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise.
Why do you love that?
I love mess.
I used to love it. I used to really love it.
I'll tell you when.
And then it stopped getting messy, and then it all changed.
Because the Netflix stuff was a lot better to watch. Like the Netflix.
No, they started doing too much.
Yeah.
The Bachelor franchise went overboard. It used to be great when it was like, you have one season, and then it was like a year and a half until the next season came out. And then you have the, what was it? The one in the summertime.
Bachelor in Paradise,
which was great. And then you'd have to wait like another year until something. But then they started bookending back to back seasons.
They started doing that years ago.
But that's what, like 4 or 5 years ago. But that's when they lost me.
What ruined the show is when everybody started giving out all the secrets of the show and how they deprive them all of sleep. And they.
Oh, yeah. I remember and, that one lady wrote that book.
They keep girls who are on their periods up until 4 o'clock in the morning and make them cry.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and then just to get all that great stuff for television. Like, once all those secrets came out of how badly the contestants were mistreated, the show sucked.
Yeah. Because right? you watch it and you're like, oh.
No, because they couldn't do it anymore. Mm. Right? Not that I want people to be mistreated on those shows at all, but that's when the show.
And
like
the amount of alcohol they were being fed.
Yeah.
Like, here,
oh, my God.
Here,
they were getting them loaded.
Before we do this, go have like
yes,
two more shots.
Yes. And then when Chris Harrison got fired or left or whatever happened with that.
I got fired.
Because there was like a phoniness to the show that was kind of glorious. Yeah. And then they tried to go legit once they got him. It just lost its edge.
Shem still loves that.
Yeah. It's still good.
Still love it, guys. Yeah. Every season.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Donald Trump hush money trial is set to get underway in New York today. Oh, the case revolves around
wild.
That $130,000 payment Trump made through his lawyer to adult film actress Stormy Daniels, who claims that she had an affair with Trump in 2006. But the payment is not actually illegal. That's not what he's on trial for. The case is centered around the 34 felony charges based on the allegations that after that payment, Trump falsified business records to cover up the payment made just before the election. It's got legal experts divided. One former prosecutor who says that they are not a fan of Trump believes that the case legitimizes Trump's ongoing argument that he's being persecuted unfairly because of who he is. Another disagrees, saying this is about an effort to defraud the American voters in 2016 to keep them from learning material information that would have affected their vote. So unprecedented.
President, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
This is wild.
It's the first time a former president has been up on criminal charges. Uh-huh. Crazy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Rock posted a video because a lot of fans were asking him how his body was after WrestleMania, and he sort of broke down what he did in order to get in shape for WrestleMania.
Saw, real quick, before we get to this, I don't know if you saw, I tried to FaceTime. I posted on stories. I tried to video chat Rock.
Yeah.
But he like ended the call like right away.
Oh, damn.
Because he was probably recording this and didn't want to be interrupted. I'm sure he's going to call me back.
Yeah.
No injuries here to report. My body feels great. Had a great week of work, working out, recovering. I did a 12-week training camp to prepare for WrestleMania. I wanted to make sure that I felt like my size was good. I weighed in at about 284 pounds when it was bell time at WrestleMania last week. I flew in a lot of wrestlers for the camp. I had a wrestling ring set up in Hawaii, a wrestling ring set up in Southern California, and one set up in Georgia. And I wanted to make sure, again, that my conditioning was on point, that my cardio was on point, and I can go.
See, Shem? Preparation.
Damn.
Yeah, noted.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Scary weekend. It looked like the world was on the brink of World War III all weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Israel's cabinet met this morning to discuss its response to Iran's rocket and drone attack on Saturday.
It looked like a movie.
It was crazy. The IDF said 99% of the 300 rockets were intercepted by British, U.S., French, and Jordanian forces, as well as Israel's Iron Dome defense system. An Israeli official told U.S. reps that Israel is not looking to significantly escalate the showdown with Iran. So that is good news, I guess, so far. Maybe.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Coachella on the weekend. Grimes, who is... Is she still with Elon Musk?
I don't know. They're like on again, off again. I think they're still together now.
So anyway,
they're together, but not married.
She did a DJ set, and anytime Grimes does a DJ set, it seems like there's like just like always massive issues. So I'm going to play you a little bit of her DJ set where she has a microphone with her, and there's there's thousands of people ready to rave out, right?
Yeah.
And her music is all screwed up somehow, and she just keeps like swearing into the microphone. So here's Grimes.
Oh no.
Sorry. We're actually having a major technical difficulty. I'm
trying to sing. I'm not good enough at math for this.
Yo, what the hell is this?
So here, stop this because it's just terrible. I'll play you her explanation on stage. You tell me, as somebody who knows what DJing is all about, if this in any way makes sense to you. Okay, so here's
Grimes. In the very classic Grimes fashion, I'm having the. This is very hard to explain because it's a complex technology, but.
But go ahead.
Everything has been put to a double tempo, so I'm doing a lot of internal math in my mind to make the tracks go together, and I'm having to. It's hard to explain.
Just try.
But it is my fault for handing in the last track about an hour and a half ago. So I take responsibility for this because. Yes, I should not have done that.
Just say this stuff didn't work.
So, but on social media, she sort of lessened her own responsibility, wrote this huge long thing and broke it down to a couple of points, which is one, if you want it done right, do it yourself. Two, be a B word, even if people feel bad. And three, probably pretend it's fine and engage with the crowd rather than spend a whole show slumped over the desk trying to fix software when you're meant to be entertaining. So she then blamed somebody else for the problem, that they were the ones that rearranged all her music and they were the ones that changed her BPMs and
As a DJ, that is your responsibility. Everything you need to make sure your software is up to date.
Yes.
Everything is plugged in properly. You show up at soundcheck for those reasons.
Yes, and there was a lot of people. Like when you see the crowd.
No, that's all your fault.
Where she and they had like, and she came out in this whole thing, and the stage show was massive, and it was just a disaster.
I know, like DJs will have people take their gear and go to the venue and set up and do the sound check themselves, right?
Right, right.
But I think it's for the DJ's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You're the one rocking the show. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be you.
She said to save time with this, she outsourced essential things like record box BPMs and letting someone else organize the tracks in the SD card, etc.
It's your fault.
I had a bad feeling beforehand not having run everything through my CDJs myself, and though I flagged it, I wasn't insistent.
But I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Maria.
I just think as a DJ, like, you should always have backup discs with like a set prepared. But, they always do that because stuff like this happens all the time, and all you had to do was just plug in and the set would have played and you could just fake it the whole way. But there's been many DJs who have done that in the past, like Tomorrowland. Like, you know, EDC Las Vegas, like all those different places.
Is this not a lesson, though, like a cautionary tale for people who actually don't know how to DJ?
Yeah.
Who make a living DJing?
100%. Yeah.
Well, her new boyfriend is a DJ, Mateo Miller.
Yeah.
Who also DJed at Coachella.
But is he, like, you know what I mean? That's what this is. If she knew it, like if she started on vinyl turntables, she would have been able to do it.
100%.
Because the evolution to get to where she is now, she didn't have that evolution.
Yeah,
right?
Don't trust anyone else.
They let
you're the one behind the decks there.
Yes.
You're the one rocking the crowd.
Yes.
That's all on you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Damn. Anyway, that was Grimes.
All right.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Donald Trump's trial yesterday in New York. Mm-hmm. They're still just sort of, the lawyers are just like jabbering back and forth. It was supposed to be jury selection day, which I don't even think they started. So there's no jury in there, but Trump was in there. And I guess the people in the courtroom noticed that he may have been dozing off. And I mean, why not? There's no jury. It's not like they're going to look bad in front of anybody. They haven't even sat the jury yet. Why not? Get your nap, Holmes, right?
You got a long, long few days ahead of you, bro.
These guys are so old. They're all so old.
How old is Trump? 77?
It's like 70-something, 74 maybe? I don't know. Something
and all that
like
McDonald's
that.
Is being?
77.
Like, 77, yeah. They're all so old. Like, they're old people, right?
They probably had a big breakfast and made him tired.
Yes, had a poop, have a nap. That's the schedule, right?
Isn't that your schedule?
Shut up. Jesus Christ. Anyway, here's CNN on Trump.
Yeah, I have to ask, you guys have been live blogging this event, and 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep, and, you know, his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E.G. Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
Yeah, that's rather surprising.
Yo, get that man a Snuggie.
When she describes him, the way he fell asleep, I was in my head, I'm like, oh, it sounds so comfortable. Yeah. Just guys, head down, jaw on your chest.
Don't you guys remember that time I got called for jury duty and I tried to get out of it by telling the judge why wouldn't be a good selection for the jury because of the hours that I work? And in the afternoon, I get very tired. I usually take afternoon naps.
That's right.
So I probably fall asleep sitting there.
That's right.
You didn't want to do jury duty?
No.
I really wanted to do jury duty.
No.
Really? Yeah. And then I got called for jury duty, and that was the day that I woke up with shingles in my eye.
Oh. No. Did you show up with it?
I did. I showed up. I had to show up. It was the middle of winter, and I showed up with sunglasses on. And then because my eye was oozing and everybody just thought that I was like a huge douchebag who wouldn't take his sunglasses off inside.
Yeah.
Would you take your sunglasses off inside if you didn't have shingles?
No. I'm one of those guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
According to a new report by Zucasa, they found that Toronto is now less affordable than both New York and Miami. Also, Nashville, Dallas, Houston, Philly are all more affordable than Toronto. According to the report, the average home price in Canada was still $30,000 higher than in the U.S. in 2022, even though Canadians had a median income that was $20,000 lower than those cities.
Guys, let's move to Nashville.
Oh, I thought you were going to say let's all roommate together.
No. Let's all move to Nashville.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Separate.
I'm down.
Yeah. I have a relative there. We can all stay with Ari.
No.
When I say
move, get my own house.
I don't want all of us with our families to go live with Uncle Ari.
It'd be so much fun, though. There's so many new bars in Nashville that are opening up this summer.
Yeah, we'd lose Maria forever.
Yeah.
We'd lose Maria forever.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Leroy, I guess he's dating Tate McRae. Is that a big deal? Did people not know? I don't know. I just saw this headline. Is this a big deal to people at all?
It's kind of been happening for a while.
Okay. But like
people, since NHL All-Star.
But this is the first, like, I guess, announcement of it.
Okay. So
yeah, because she was there or something.
I guess he's doing a concert and he was doing something on stage. And he
performing?
Says, yeah.
I mean, doing something.
I don't know.
He's not juggling.
I don't know. I don't know what these guys do.
That's swallowing fire.
I don't know.
I need everybody in here to sing this as loud as they can, because my girlfriend's here tonight and I don't want to look lame. So if you guys don't sing this as loud as you can, then I'm gonna look really lame and it's gonna embarrass me. So.
And I guess when he said my girlfriend, the camera panned
and
there was a shot of Tate McRae and then she was up on the big screens.
Smiling and stuff.
Yeah, all that
That's
stuff.
That's cute. You know, that's my boo. The hell,
yeah, exactly. You know. That's not bad though. I don't mind that. Do they look good together? They're a good couple? I don't know. Like
yeah, they look cute. I think so.
Yeah.
They're both young. Mm-hmm.
She makes him look good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because
he kind of looks like he's rolled out of bed 24/7.
Uh-huh.
And she's always really put together. So.
You know what's interesting? I have no idea what the kid Larry looks like. Hold on.
Kid Leroy. Kid Larry.
Okay, hold on here.
Yo, disrespect, bro.
Kid Larry. White guy. I think I've said this before. I keep rediscovering this same guy.
You do.
All the time.
And his name apparently too.
Yeah. Hold on here. I had no idea that this was the kid Leroy. Look at that.
He's like best friends with Bieber.
Really? Huh? Yeah.
He kind of looks like Bieber sometimes too.
Yeah.
He looks like I'm looking at one picture of him. He looks like he's something out of like a sci-fi film. Is that right, eh?
They're cute.
Yeah, they're young. Why not? Go for it.
Do you know what Tate McRae looks like?
No. Hold on here. Let me Google Tate McRae.
She's pretty pretty.
In my opinion, she looks so much like Maria.
Really? I don't think so. But thank you. Maury, yeah. I appreciate the compliment.
Hold on. Hold on
like when I saw her on SNL, I was like, oh, Maria's performing.
I don't see it.
But you can't see. It's you. You can't see you.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't. I wouldn't say Maria. No offense, Maria.
That's okay.
Okay.
I'm taken.
Yeah.
I get told it look like Hailey Bieber. That's the ultimate compliment, so I'm okay with that.
Well.
Oh, let me have that.
Wow. Wow.
Let me have that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
TikTok star Kyle Marissa Roth has died at the age of 36. She was the you want more? I'll give you more. Like, I never used TikTok, and I even saw her on TikTok. Mm-hmm. She does gossip stuff.
Yeah.
You know who she is? You know who she is? Everybody knows who she is? Yeah.
Yeah.
Her sister Lindsay Roth announced the news on social media yesterday, saying that Kyle had passed away last week.
Oh.
Cause of death was not revealed. She says, as a family, we're still processing and deciding how to properly celebrate and honor her life. Hmm. I know she touched so many people with her humor, intelligence, beauty, gossip, activism, athleticism, and more. She had so many gifts. Bunch of sort of celebs were also in the comments commenting on this. What's that girl's name? The Uncut Gems.
Julie Fox.
She was a big fan of of Kyle Marissa Roth. So she has passed away.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
In an unprecedented move, like this is crazy. So CBS aired on Sunday night. CBS aired the Billy Joel concert, which was the Billy Joel, the 100th live at Madison Square Garden. So he had done 100 shows at Madison Square Garden. Incredible.
Yeah.
And they ran the whole concert on the broadcast. But during the last 2 minutes of the broadcast, they cut to like the affiliate stations all cut and they went to the news.
Oh.
So you lost like the last minute of Piano Man and Billy Joel taking a bow. So here's how it ended for fans.
Okay.
Live from CBS 4. Oh, this is your news now.
So, come on.
So normally they would just issue an apology, which CBS did. They said a network programming timing error ended last night's Billy Joel special approximately 2 minutes early. We apologize to Mr. Joel, his fans, our affiliate stations, and our audience whose viewing experience was interrupted during the last song. This is how much fans complained. Due to the overwhelming demand from his legion of fans, Billy Joel, the 100th live at Madison Square Garden concert, will be rebroadcast in its entirety on CBS on Friday.
Wow. The whole show?
The whole show!
All because of this.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
Damn.
Yeah, did you watch this, Maury?
The thing is, I was literally on the phone with my dad singing along to Piano Man, and this happened, and we were both like, what the hell?
No, oh, so it happened here, too, because I guess you're
watching
because
they were taking
right?
the CBS feed.
From Buffalo. WVIB Buffalo.
Yeah, so they're actually rerunning the entire concert on Friday.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
It's so bad.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Caitlin Clark went number one overall in the women's basketball draft, going to Indiana Fever.
She'll now play
alongside last year's number one pick, Aaliyah Boston, and try and help that franchise out. Now, Caitlin made, during her college run, an estimated $3.4 million in name, image, and likeness deals during her senior year in Iowa. She'll likely be able, they say, to maintain most of her sponsorship deals when she transitions to the pro level. Her deal with Indiana, by the way, so keep in mind that she made $3.4 million in endorsement deals while she was a college student. So her jump to the pro level playing for Indiana is a four-year deal for $338,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's 76, 78, 20, 76 or 86, and then a $97,000 option. in the final year.
Yo, the math ain't mathing, guys.
Well, I mean, she's doing okay.
No, I right? know, but like still. She's,
yeah, it's like the CFL. I used to know a CFL player who was also like a fireman on the side. He had to play, like, he had to have a full-time job in the CFL, right? It's crazy.
It's just
it's crazy.
Because
when you get so blinded by, like, boxing numbers and hockey numbers and, you know, football numbers and baseball numbers, like where the guy makes $100 million, like, you get blinded by that and you realize that,
Our high school gym teacher at the time also played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though,
big
right?
Dude.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I hate it. I mean, nice guy.
Yeah.
But, man, we made us do, like, you run us through drills.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, this ain't the combine.
No. I know that everybody always made fun of, like, the out-of-shape gym teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
But man, when you had an out-of-shape gym teacher, it was great.
Yeah, right? Not this guy, Mr. Dalgarno. Because
they didn't know
shout out to Dalgarno.
They didn't know how to spot potential in a kid, right? But when you get an athlete, who's teaching kids gym, thank you.
On the weekends, he's playing.
No,
he's playing professional football.
Getting his head hit, everything. No, no, thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Walmart Canada is launching a pilot program for customers to recycle the blue reusable Walmart bags.
Why? I need those.
I know. They said that they've partnered with a company called TerraCycle, which will see extra or damaged reusable blue bags to be washed and donated to charity or recycled. Walmart Canada, they stopped with the plastic bags in 2022 to help prevent more than 680 million plastic bags from entering circulation each year. 680 million plastic bags. Every year.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of miss the plastic bags, though. I know, like, what it does for the environment, but just like to put stuff in.
You know what I miss the plastic bags for? Not the first use. I don't miss plastic bags when I go to the grocery store and I put my groceries in and I take them home. I miss plastic bags for all the secondary usage out of them. For the garbage can in the bathroom. Right?
Yeah.
For, you know, sticking something in there. Like, I broke a glass the other day, right, on the ground. And I'm like, God, if I had one of those plastic bags, I could just put a couple pieces in there with some paper towel, tie it up, and then put that in the garbage. Mm-hmm. But now I got to use a big bag for little things, which I have to do all the time now.
Having two dogs at home, sometimes, like, whatever, maybe I forget to go and buy, like, new rolls of poop bags.
Yes.
Those plastic bags came in so handy.
Yes, they
or
do.
Even, like, on the weekend, right?
Yeah.
On the weekend, like, we had family over, and there's, like, a lot of leftover food and put stuff in, in containers.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't want to give them my reusable bags.
No!
Like, that's when you toss it in, like, a Walmart plastic bag.
Thank you.
Right,
thank
Maria,
you.
What happened?
I think I can just picture you with, like, a large garbage bag walking your dogs.
I've had to do it before. I've had to do it before.
I can just picture that.
Yeah,
that's
and, like,
so
the
funny.
Smallest poop ever.
I know. Like.
Yeah. The worst.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
God, my favorite thing is watching Gen Zers try and go in on Courtney Love.
What happened?
Courtney Love, she's doing this series, I think, for like the BBC or something like that. It's like a radio series where she's, it's like celebrating women in music. And a couple of the quotes that came out of it were the ones where she's like hating on people, I guess. So first off, she says, people used to say that I was difficult. And then she goes on to say, they said I was disagreeable. Yes, I'm completely disagreeable, and I'm never going to apologize for that. Being liked was never my thing. Kurt wanted to be liked, not me, meaning Kurt Cobain. So she says a lot of stuff about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, calling it a joke and saying that it's always been biased against women and black artists. And there's a ton of women in music that she does praise. But what people are pulling out, she says this. It's great that there are so many successful women in the music industry, but lots of them are becoming a cliche. I like the idea of Beyonce doing a country record because it's about a black woman going into spaces where previously only white women have been allowed. As a concept, I love it. I just don't like her music.
Oh.
So there's that. And then she talks about Taylor Swift, she dislikes very much.
Oh, no.
She says, Taylor is not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not interesting as an artist.
Oh, my God.
So their fans are going in there, and then she goes on to talk about Lana Del Rey, saying, I haven't liked Lana since she covered a John Denver song. I think she should maybe take another 7 years off.
How dare you talk about my Lana Del Rey.
And then with Madonna, she says, I don't like her, and she doesn't me. I love Desperately Seeking Susan, though. So that's where everybody's going.
So sorry, what is this for? What's she yapping about?
She's doing a series, a big series on women in music.
Oh, I'm not listening. How dare you?
Yeah, anyway, it's so good.
DM her.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Drake sort of responded to Rick Ross's claim that Drake had a nose job.
Yo, don't even.
And so I guess
I'm going in on everybody.
So Drake posted a screen grab of a conversation he had with his ma, where she wrote, "Hey, the internet is saying you got a nose job. You look the same to me in the kitchen today. I can't believe you would get one without me." And then he responded, said, "I would have got us a 2-for-1 deal. It's coming from Rick Ross, the guy I did songs with. He's gone loopy off the Manjaro. He hasn't eaten in days and has turned him angry and racist. He's performing at proms for money. It's bad. Don't worry. We'll handle it." So that's what Drake posted. So there's so all good. That beef going on. I got to play you this.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The owners of the infamous white Ford Bronco used in the O.J. Simpson slow police chase in 1994 that had 95 million people glued to their televisions. Huh. 95 million people Crazy. Watched that chase. The Bronco is up for sale. So most recently, it's been on loan to the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where it's been on display since 2016. The car was originally owned by Al Cowlings, who was OJ's friend and also the driver during that chase. Currently, two of Cowlings' friends and Simpson's former agent are the owners of the vehicle. I think they're looking to get like... Uh-oh. I think they're hoping to get like $350,000 for it or something.
Oh, I would have said
something
more.
Something like that. Maybe $750,000.
I thought you were going to say like a million.
Maybe a million. No, yeah, no. Oh, sorry. Yes, they're looking for a million. 1.5, 1.5 million.
Nah, I don't know.
But they don't think they're going to get, get it.
But it's a piece of history.
It is.
For a murderous Bronco?
Yeah, but it's still like one of the most known cars.
But it'll be, if it does, it's not going to be like some weirdo who buys it and then goes and sits in it and, you know, does weird things.
It'd be like the Smithsonian.
No, currently it's at the Alcatraz East Crime Museum. If the Smithsonian wanted it, I think that they would pick up the phone and say, hey, can you give it to us on loan for a little while? We think that there's money in this thing. If somebody wanted it that bad, they would have already paid for it, I think, anyway.
Display it right next to the statue of Teddy Roosevelt on the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
One of the stars of Squid Game, the TV show, Jackie Gonzalez, who is deaf, is a lip reader. And I guess she posted a video where she took that clip of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce at Coachella, where they were interacting with each other, but you couldn't hear what they were saying because it was too loud.
Yeah.
So she posted a video lip reading to what Taylor Swift was most likely saying.
Hi. Oh my God, we're in the front. Wow. This is Travis. I'm going to go ahead and ignore that time, but nice to meet you. Stretching like a goddamn acrobat. Me and Karma vibe like that. Yeah! That was the best thing that's happened tonight. Sorry, I'm drunk. Woo! Yeah! Woo!
Okay. I'm no lip reader. I could have translated at least 50% of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would have nailed the he's and the woos.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm so drunk right now. That's everybody at Coachella, though.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Great job.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A a new study shows that working nights and volatile schedules in young adulthood can leave you vulnerable to depression and poor health in middle age. The research that they did examined the work schedules and sleep patterns of more than 7,000 people interviewed over three decades. And to the surprise, they say, of the study's author, one quarter of the participants worked exclusively traditional daytime hours. That is a small number. The remainder, three quarters of the sample, who were all born in the 1960s, worked variable hours. Those with more chaotic and volatile work schedules, including night hours, rotating shifts, reported less sleep and a greater likelihood of poor health and depression by the age of 50, as opposed to those who worked sort of more stable scheduled daytime hours. So it's not good for you to work those crazy shift hours and working late and getting up late and all of us in here.
So what are you saying?
I don't know. I'm just saying that, like, I think that we have to fight harder to stay in shape when you work crazy hours. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to fight harder to not fall into depression.
Are you finally saying what I think you're saying?
Which is what?
That we're going to finally get to go to the gym together?
No, I was about to say that's why the LCBO should open at 7 a.m.
Oh. Yo, you know who would love that? Taylor Swift.
Woo!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Three Brampton, Ontario men and one guy from Florida have been arrested in connection to that $20 million Toronto Pearson Airport gold heist. This after U.S. agents uncovered a cross-border gun trafficking plot that was linked to the heist.
Yikes.
The heist apparently was as easy as walking right into the Air Canada cargo facility, showing a false waybill, and leaving with the enormous container. They said it was gone 42 minutes after it was unloaded from the plane arriving from Switzerland.
And two guys from Brampton?
So three guys from Brampton.
Three guys from Brampton?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me, driving around, they still didn't crash?
Damn.
They got away clean?
Wow. Wow. I don't know if that's a diss against them or that it is everybody in Brampton.
Come on, Brampton. You know. There's probably an accident that happened like 10 minutes ago that have yet to be reported on the news.
They don't even do that anymore. No. Brinks, the security company that was responsible for it. So they're now suing Air Canada because they just let somebody walk in with forged documents. Air Canada denies that allegation and claims that Brinks failed to actually note the value of the container on the waybill and hadn't taken out any insurance on the $20 million
insurance.
Gold bars.
Come on, Brinks.
Yeah, so there you go with that.
I bet the person in charge of that, I'm not going to say it.
No, don't bother.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to play this clip from, this is Richard Lewis, the late, great Richard Lewis. So when they wrapped the final episode, the final scene of Curb Your Enthusiasm, everybody got up and they said something nice to Larry David, right? Because it was the airplane scene. So they were all there together in this one scene. And then everybody kind of gets up and says some nice stuff. This is what Richard Lewis had to say.
All right. That's a wrap on the funniest show ever. I just want to say something. Larry David has treated me like a god. And all of you have. And this is the greatest experience of my career. And I love each and every one of you. I'm honored to be working with arguably the greatest sitcom writer in the last two centuries. And God bless all of you. And thanks for being so sweet to me.
So they grew up as best friends. I think he said that they were born in the same hospital one day apart.
Yep.
Aww, right?
That's
and
so, nice.
So when you watch it, it's the funniest thing because when everybody's standing up to thank Larry, right? So they cut scene. That's a wrap on the greatest show ever, all this other stuff. Larry stands up and he has like a rolled script in his hand. Mm-hmm. And then one by one, people start standing up and saying nice things to Larry, right? In between everybody saying something, Larry David is slowly walking off set, right? Oh. So the person filming it all has to like pan really far over to Larry to try and get his reaction. And as soon as Richard Lewis finished saying what he said, his best friend in the world since childhood, Larry finds the moment where everybody takes a breath and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing, and turns around and walks away.
I feel like that's what you would do.
And says nothing. Nothing.
Maybe he didn't hear.
Yeah, it was the best.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Eli Lilly, the pharmaceutical company, their new weight loss drug, Zepbound, was found to reduce obstructive sleep apnea in adults with obesity. Obstructive sleep apnea affects, I didn't know this, is a monster number, 39 million Americans in the U.S.
Wow.
The research found that after a 52-week trial, Zepbound had led to an average reduction of 27.4 obstruction events per hour in people who were not on PAP machines. There you go. You got one of those, right, Sean?
I do. Yeah. How many disruptions?
So if you have sleep apnea and we're not using a machine, researchers found that Zepbound had an average reduction of 27.4 obstruction events per hour.
Yeah, when I did my initial sleep test about a year and a half ago, I had 84.
Right,
84
in an hour.
Wow. Yeah. So this without the machine, this takes care of 27. Wow. In that hour?
Does your machine? Does it allow you to sleep throughout the night, or do you still wake up because of the apnea?
I don't sleep a lot of hours, so for the most part, I sleep right through the night.
Oh, is there a straw attachment in case you get thirsty?
Oh, damn. No, I just take it off and I go get a glass of water.
That seems like a bit of a pain in the ass to me. Somebody should try and...
So sexy.
customize the sleep mask, I think, anyway.
So you just take a sip?
Yeah. Like a big long straw where you just lie on your back and... Right? I think so, anyway. Right? Yeah, listen, man. You almost die 40 times an hour. You want a drink. It's exhausting.
Was that noise again?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Apparently, gas prices are going way up today and tomorrow. So you might want to fill up today or tomorrow.
What's way up?
14 cents on Thursday is what the story is. So it would bring the average
14 cents?
Gas price in the GTA to $1.79 a liter. That's the...
14 cents.
That's the...
Why?
I don't know, man.
Can you pick me up so I don't have to pay? Oh, wait. That's
no?
Like the drone strikes and everything?
No. This is all... I think it's probably just like... I don't know.
Just
because? It could be that. It's the new... I mean, I got... Assumed the first time I filled up after, like, they started, you know, with the new carbon taxes and all that stuff. It's like over $100 now to fill my truck. It's crazy.
Holy, 14 cents?
Do what I do and just put $10 in a time.
Oh,
that'll get you 2 blocks. Right,
like, I would be running out of gas constantly with $10 at a time in my truck. Constantly.
That gives me half a tank.
Oh, Jesus, I wish.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
New York City Department of Health has released an advisory after multiple cases of human leptospirosis, which is an infection that is associated to exposure to rat urine. There were 24 cases of leptospirosis in the city in 2023. Compare that to the average number was 3 cases a year from 2001 to 2020. So they got a rat problem.
Yo, you're sick to my stomach.
Leptospirosis, which again is the exposure to rat urine. Symptoms may include fever, headache, chills, muscle aches, vomiting, diarrhea, cough, conjunctival suffusion, jaundice, and rash. So it's not good.
So you get all the things.
So they got to do something about the rats. And now New York lawmakers are proposing rules that will humanely drive down the rat population and other rodents in New York. And what they're looking at now is contraception.
What?
Say it again.
Contraception.
What?
Yeah. Rat poison is brutal for all animals, right? Like squirrels and birds and everything. So what they're looking to do, it's a contraceptive called Contrapest. It's not like a condom, Mocha. Nobody's going to be like applying those.
You're
looking at me like it's going to be somebody's job to condom rats.
Yeah. Yo, what you do for a living?
You know what I mean?
Well.
No. It's ContraPest. It's contained in salty, fatty pellets that are then scattered in rat-infested areas as bait, and it works by targeting ovarian function in female rats and disrupts sperm cell function and productivity in male rats. So it's a one-fix sort of contraception solution.
Okay.
So they don't have to use poison anymore because it's killed that famous owl, right?
Oh,
they lost that owl from the zoo and
in Central Park.
In Central Park, and when they found it, it was dead. It was dead because it ate rat poison.
Got it.
Right. So it's not good. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. The rise and fall of the Golden Bachelor. This is a really crazy story. So they made such a huge deal out of this, and it really reinvigorated the franchise when they did the Golden Bachelor with Gary Turner and Teresa. How do you say her last name? Nist? Is that how you say it?
I think so.
And now they've mutually decided to dissolve their marriage. Mm-hmm. This comes only 3 months after their January televised wedding, giving them the new history-making title as the fastest ever Bachelor franchise divorce. It was 100 days. And the Hollywood Reporter back in November before the finale did an expose on Gary Turner, the Bachelor. And they said a woman who claimed to have dated Gary Turner said his persona that he projected on TV of a grieving bachelor who was finally ready for his second chance at love was false, instead claiming that he had had various romantic entanglements that dated back just weeks after his wife's death.
Gary!
The report also found that Gary wasn't a, quote, retired restaurateur, as he claimed to be. Instead, he last owned a restaurant in 1985. He then held various sales management position jobs in the meat business and worked numerous jobs, such as installing hot tubs and maintenance man work.
Gary.
So he wasn't this restaurateur. He was a hot tub salesman, I guess. I don't know. Teresa denied reports that his past was what led to their split, but they hold the record now of the quickest bachelor wedding to divorce. 100 days.
Gary.
Is what it was. I know, right?
Shocking.
Playboy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. An Air Canada employee is one of those guys that was arrested for the gold heist at Pearson. Yeah. Police say the
we
former
all assumed it was an inside job.
Employee anyway, was one of nine suspects that are facing charges in connection with the heist at a news conference yesterday on the 1 year anniversary of the theft. They confirmed that five suspects were arrested and four others are facing charges in connection with the largest gold theft in Canadian history. The big question was, though, like, when you steal that much gold, like, what do you do with it? Like, how do you move gold? Like, somebody could give me a gold bar and be like, sell this. And I'd be like, I don't know how to sell gold. Like, what do you do with gold?
You go to a jeweler.
But they know what you're going to go to a jeweler who like is reading the news being like, yo,
no, you have to know like a criminal, like it's all
this is,
a,
I know,
an operation.
Exactly.
Right?
So these guys, Detective Sergeant Mike Mavity talks a little bit about what they did with at least some of the gold.
During search warrants, investigators seized the following items: $430,000 in Canadian currency. We believe this money is some of the profits the suspects made when they sold the gold. Six crudely made gold bracelets that resemble bangles, however they lack various principles typically associated with fine jewelry. These items were sent off for expert examination and are considered to be pure gold. The total value of these six gold bracelets is over $89,000.
Oh, wow!
Smelting pots, casts, and molds. These are commonly used in the industry to change the composition of gold.
Yo, these dudes were melting it down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I wonder what gold smells like when it's being melted down.
I think like any other metal. Yeah.
Like solder.
Yeah, I don't think it smells good. Oof. Smelting pots. These guys had smelting pots. They were making bracelets.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Like,
you know, yeah, okay.
They're making bracelets.
You know what I would do, honestly? If I had that much gold, right? Let's say I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, flex.
Yeah.
I would take some of that gold. melt it down, and make like an infinity gauntlet like Thanos.
You don't know how.
Oh my God.
You don't know. It would be easier. We talked about this at the beginning. If I gave you a gold bar and I said, here, sell it, you could probably eventually maybe find somebody to sell it to. But if I gave you a gold bar and said, here, make me bracelets. Like, you got to go to college for that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, one of them was a jeweler, right?
Yeah. Smelting pots.
Yeah. I would just link up with some next, like, criminal and be like, help me out.
Yeah, I know. You got to have the tow motor driver. You got to have the jeweler on your team.
Yeah.
You got to have
It's a full operation.
Yes. I feel like they didn't think this through.
Yes, they had a full operation.
This will become a movie, won't it?
Oh, it has to be.
Y'all have to self-snitch on this show, I swear.
Like, make me Thanos' infinity gauntlet.
They should have just gone to a jeweler that's, like, out of here.
What do you mean? Like, where?
I don't know. Like,
out of
the
country?
They should have booked a ticket, flew somewhere, or, like...
How are you going to get across the border?
Or, like, drive... And then you go there, and then you get it for money, and then you go buy yourself some.
Maria, how do you get the gold to them?
You would make the worst
criminal
ever.
Maria, I know enough about heist films and the human body to know that you cannot keister that much gold.
Can you keister any gold?
But how would the, like? What if like they might not search your car?
Might.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on the hope.
Wasn't talking about the car, Maria.
Oh.
I wonder what's inside. Okay.
We all do. Maria's the only one that didn't.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Quentin Tarantino's movie. So Tarantino has always had this weird thing where he said that he's going to do 10 movies and then retire. He wanted a collection of 10 films and then he was going to retire. The final film was supposed to be a movie called The Movie Critic.
Okay.
Which he described as being based on a guy who really lived but was never really famous, and he used to write movie reviews for a porno magazine.
Oh.
Brad Pitt had already been cast, and I believe that Brad Pitt was supposed to reprise his role as Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because this movie takes place in the 70s. And
the same universe.
The same universe. But apparently Tarantino's people released a statement saying that he's shelved the movie. Like,
why?
he's ditched the script. He's going to do something else. Like, he's not even doing this film.
Oh, so he's still going to make a movie.
Maybe, sure. But he's, like, going back to the drawing board with, like, a whole new movie.
Hmm.
Like, he doesn't even want to make this movie. He wrote it. Like, I don't know.
Maybe he read it again. And was
I
like,
think
nah.
that he's putting too much pressure on himself.
Or
that this is going to be his last.
He has a set
right
list in his mind of who he wants to play which character. And maybe some of them, it's not going to work out. And he's like, I can't make this movie without this person, this person, this person, this person.
No, but it's not. It's like anybody will make time for a Tarantino, especially his last film, right? But no, he's scrapping it. He doesn't like the script. I don't know, I guess. I don't know. That's weird to me. But why say that? Why all those years ago just say that you're going to do 10 movies and then
like put a cap on it?
Like put a cap on. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Toronto Raptors, Jontay Porter is banned from the NBA for life. For life. After it was found out that he was giving personal and confidential and team information to sports bettors.
Damn,
and
man.
He was betting on games and on himself. Another individual with who he associated with knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay with an online sports book to win $1.1 million.
Oh, my God.
There was one incident where there was massive bets placed about his own stats in a particular game. And if you remember, he left a game 3 minutes in because he said he wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And then that turned out to be a huge payout for people for life.
He also bet against the Raptors.
Yeah. And he bet against the Raptors.
Your own team.
And they won that game.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear Masai Ujiri or?
Yeah.
First of all, you don't want this for one, the kid. You don't want this for our team. And we don't want this for our league. That's for sure. My first reaction is obviously surprise because I don't think anybody saw anything like this coming. You prepare as much, for all kinds of situations in the NBA, but definitely didn't see this coming. We did all due diligence, and I think From all the reports and everything we had, I think this was nothing we could know about. And I think all of that is under the NBA's investigation, you know, like, so we go out there and try to do the best due diligence we can.
What were you going to ask, Maria?
I just don't understand. You're already making so much money as a basketball player. Like, why do this?
Was he, though?
Mm-hmm. He was not, though.
But not even then. Like, you, it's like one in a million chances for you to even get into the NBA. And then you're going to play around just to do a few parlays?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to ruin your whole career?
Sure.
You want more?
Yeah, you want more.
Greedy.
Right? You want more. Always more. Why not? You know, and you go through another guy. Oh, I got a guy with a guy. I'm not. You convince yourself, right? Like, oh, it's I'm. It's not me betting, right? I'm
Like, they're asking me questions.
I never called anyone.
I'm answering.
I never said anything. Mm-hmm. I never placed a bet. No, I called a guy. Yeah, he placed a bet. But, like, gamblers convince themselves of all this whack stuff, right? Yeah. Like, always, always, always,
I don't
always,
know how the money got in my account.
No,
I got
no idea.
I got auto deposit.
No idea.
It just shows up.
Yeah, that's crazy for life, though.
Damn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Gas prices in Eastern Canada are just out of this world right now. So in most Ontario cities, gas is $1.79. There was one station in Sudbury that was $1.85.2.
Yikes.
One station in Newfoundland that was $1.95.5.
Wow.
Incredible.
I know we talked about it yesterday. My dumbass forgot to fill up my tank.
Yeah.
And when I drove by Esso this morning, I was like, oh, it was $1.79.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waited 30 minutes yesterday to fill up.
Really? Did you?
Yeah, last night. I
did you fill up, Maria?
Yeah, I went right after dinner, and I got lucky. I was in and out within like 10 minutes.
Wow. That's what she said. Damn it, Maria. Yeah.
I filled up last week. It's still full.
Still full.
So no need.
I wish. I wish.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's going to be Maple Leafs versus Boston Bruins officially Saturday, 8 p.m.
What?
8 p.m.? What are you, monsters? Who starts at 8?
It's for the U.S., I guess.
Yes, it's Boston, I imagine.
It's not a different time zone.
It's too late, 8 p.m.
For you.
Why am I the only one that's like, yo,
because it's
Leafs.
Boston. Yeah, that's why. Knows. Everyone, like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
The last two games were terrible as well. It just didn't end well. Auston Matthews didn't get 70 goals last night, so he stays at 69, which is still an incredible feat. I think the last time somebody got 69 goals was like the 90s, like
that?
The mid-90s when Lemieux did
What's
it. Like, it's still
that?
An incredible. I don't know. Listen.
It's a great number.
Nah, it's fine.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.